Now will you open your Bibles, please, to the book of the Revelation, chapter 2, that portion of the Word of God we are studying together, as we call to your attention the paragraph which begins in the 18th verse of that second chapter. Unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach, and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornications, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto you every one according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye already have. Hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh, and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I have received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And thus ends the reading of the word containing the message to the church at Thyatira. You will keep in mind that we have suggested to you that these individual churches were chosen because the characteristics of those churches portrayed very vividly the characteristics of individual periods of church history from the day of Pentecost down till the day that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will be removed from the world. The last time we were together, we studied the message to the church at Pergamos, where we saw the church married and settled in the world, as occurred about 316 A.D. Today, as we look at the church at Thyatira, we're going to find the period which succeeded that, the period in which the church passed through the Dark Ages, and many things occurred which none of us like to think about as being related to Christianity or to the church. The church name Thyatira is significant. The word Thyatira means continual sacrifice. This became the characteristic of the church at this particular period of time, known more familiarly to most of us as the Mass. Mass became the chief characteristic of the church, and has continued in the Roman church down to this hour. You'll remember that each message began with a characteristic taken from the vision of the Lord Jesus Christ found in the first chapter of our letter. As we look at the verse before us today, we see these words, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. The Lord Jesus Christ is pictured with eyes as a flame of fire, suggesting what is further revealed in this paragraph, that he is the one who searcheth the reins and the hearts. He knows every secret thing. He is able to uncover every unlovely thing that is smoothed over and hidden in any fashion at all. His feet are likened unto fine brass. Brass in the Word of God is the symbol of judgment, and his feet being likened unto fine brass suggests that the Lord Jesus Christ stands looking upon the church at Thyatira, ready to bespeak judgment in relation to those things which are inconsistent with the true Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ complimented this church, as he did the other churches, always looking for the good before he has to mention the bad. And as we read verse 19, we discover that this church was a working church. We discover that this church had many charitable enterprises, hospitals and schools, acts of charity. They were great in their service, having a great host of people who left the ordinary rounds of life, the ordinary affairs of life, to become faithful servants to the cause of Christ and the church. And they were individuals of great faith. They believed in a miracle-working God. And if there were indications that God was working a miracle, they did not let their scientific minds, so-called, rule out the possibility of the miracle. The last compliment they presented to them was, I know thy patience and thy works. And here he linked the two together. You say, isn't this repetition? No. He is suggesting that even though they were a working church, they went the second mile. They went beyond the call of duty. They said that they would carry on no matter how difficult the situation was. And carry on they did, when many others might be willing to faint and give up and say, I've had enough, I'm not going to do any more. They carried on. Now, we must notice the criticism. He had complimented them, now he would criticize them. Because remember, this is the general outline which was followed in relation to the messages to all of the churches. He said, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach, and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. This is an interesting passage of Scripture. The Lord Jesus Christ looked upon this church, after complimenting her, said, now I want to tell you what I think is wrong with you. I want to tell you what I see in your church that is dangerous, that is going to create some trouble. This I have against you. You suffer that woman Jezebel to teach. You suffer that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach. And that woman, with her false teaching, is leading people off into spiritual adultery and into idolatry. And I don't like it, says the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are familiar with the individual histories of these churches in Asia Minor, you probably are aware that in the church at Thyatira in Asia Minor, there was a minister whose wife was named Jezebel. This minister, for whatever reason, had taken a back seat and was permitting his wife to do the preaching and the teaching and the prophesying. And she was leading this church off into error. Now, the Holy Spirit of God chose this particular church because of this sad occurrence within it, that he might drive home a lesson that is eternal, whether the church's name is Thyatira or Pergamos or Laodicea or Philadelphia. The basic lesson is that whenever a woman usurps authority over a man and begins to teach and begins to preach and begins to prophesy, trouble results. Now, please accept this in the spirit that I say it today. I am speaking on the authority of the Word of God. You may know some very godly woman who preaches. You may know some very godly woman who prophesies. I have nothing to say about her relationship to the Lord. That is not my business. I'm not capable of saying anything about it. But I can say to you, on the authority of the Word of God, that she is out of place. Because the Bible very plainly teaches that a woman should not occupy the place of the preacher or the teacher. If she does, she is usurping authority over a man. We don't have time to go into this subject in detail, but let me say, so you won't jump to conclusions and misquote me, there is a ministry for women in the teaching of women. The Bible says that. There is a ministry for women in the teaching of children. The Bible says that. But the Bible very plainly forbids a woman taking any place of authority over the assembly of God. And I say to you today, this is not my statement. It is God's statement. And inevitably, it results in chaos, in false teaching, in real heartache. This is what it did here. There was another woman by the name of Jezebel in sacred history. She was the wife of a king of Israel by the name of Ahab. Ahab abdicated his authority, permitted his wife to take charge of things, and she began to lead the nation of Israel off into idolatry. What is God saying? He's saying that at this particular period in church history, represented by the church at Thyatira, the church was going through a period of false teaching in which idolatry was being emphasized and spiritual fornication, that is, tying the church up with things and people with whom she should have no association. Spiritual adultery was growing. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I have this against you, and I must insist that you do something about it. I must insist that you bring this to an end. He said, I gave her space to repent of her fornications, and she repented not. Which simply means that in this period of church history, the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with the church in such a fashion that had she responded to his call, she could have repented of the error of her ways, had eliminated it, and had straightened up. But the sad truth is she did not. And the sad fact of history proves that she did not. And we're going to have to stop right there, recognizing that God has to deal with a disobedient church.